everyone. I'm Josh Semyon, and the research I'm going to be presenting to you today deals with the relations between various forms of interpersonal communications that occurred inside the World Trade Center towers during the attacks and the readiness of evacuees, of survivors, to begin their movement towards evacuation. These data were analyzed from the collected from the World Trade Center Evacuation Study, which is supported from a grant from the CDC and is being run at Columbia University by Dr. Robin Gershon. The data were collected from previous employees of the World Trade Center who were identified through various sources, for example, newspapers, employee records, and they responded to a mail order, a mail questionnaire. And the demographics of our sample that we obtained parallel the demographics of the known workforce of the World Trade Center towers, meaning that we have a viable sample to work with in our studies. So the first general question that I had was, were face-to-face communications within the towers specifically related to evacuation, for example, these people are talking about what's important for me to do when I'm evacuating? What information do I need to know when I'm evacuating? So they're exchanging information, and this is a social milling process is what I'm terming it in this study. It's a collecting and sharing of information. What is the most important information? And what is the relation of that communication to psychological outcomes, specifically a decreased belief that one is in danger? And the basis for this prediction comes from essentially from attachment theory, which predicts that when people are in ambiguous, potentially dangerous situations, they're going to tend to move towards one another in order to shore up a sense of safety and normalcy. They're going to try to feel, this is a normal situation, even though it's kind of crazy. What am I going to do? So they're going to move towards one another, and that movement is likely to help, allow them to feel more safe. And that's dangerous. We don't want people to feel safe because we know that this is a dangerous situation. Another general question was, if people are moving towards one another and going through this social milling process, was this actually related to a time delay in the time it took them to begin their movement towards evacuation? And the basis for this comes largely from emergent norm theory, which predicts that not only are people going to tend to evacuate towards one another rather than towards safe places, but that they're actually going to, when the situation is ambiguous, they're going to try to figure out, not only which information is most credible, but who's going to act on this information, who's going to start our evacuation, and they're going to try to create a new norm within one another to normalize the situation. And this process, the point is that this process takes time. This is not what we want people to be doing, even though it's sort of natural for people to do. And also, we have evidence from the 1993 World Trade Center evacuation that this did, in fact, occur. A third general question I had was what the role of communication devices played, the devices that people used inside the towers, and what relation that had to the timing it took to begin to evacuate. So I split them into two groups. First group of devices were one-way devices, devices which are broadcast to you. You have no input on their content. And we have TV, radio, and public address announcements. And the idea here was that the more information that's coming at you from TV, radio, whatever, the more confused you're going to be, the less likely you're going to be to know what to do. You know, well, it looks dangerous, but the TV saying it could have been just a small plane hitting, it could have been a pipe burst, I don't know. Certainly on September 11th, this was absolutely true. That during the attacks, the TV, radio, public address announcements, certainly the public address announcements into the towers were confusing, were ambiguous, and people didn't know what to do. So if you're paying attention to this, you're going to be likely to delay even further. And the other set of communication devices were two-way devices, telephones, email, etc. The idea here was that if you're communicating with someone outside the towers who is in a safe place, that person may become more salient for you in that moment because, again, the idea is we evacuate as humans towards safe people rather than towards safe places. So if I'm an evacuee and I'm speaking with someone distant who's saying, you got to get out of there, come on, let's go, you're going to be more likely to move quickly rather than stick around and talk with people around you and figure out what to do. You're getting some direction. You're getting a place to go to. You're not necessarily feeling safe with those around you. You want to be safe with that person you're talking to. So again, social milling, as I've begun to define, is the process of exchanging information face-to-face with one another. What's going on? What should we do? Who's going to act on this information? And here in the study, it was operationally defined as evacuees who, A, indicated that they had participated in some sort of face-to-face communication before beginning their evacuation, and B, that face-to-face communication was relevant to their decision whether or not to evacuate, and obviously they did since we have them in our study. So again, the content of their conversation is, should we or should we not evacuate? Initiation delay I defined in this study operationally as the time between an evacuee indicating that they knew something fishy was going on, something's wrong here, and and the time at which they reported that they physically began to evacuate. Another variable that I included as a covariate was work-related consequences for delay. Now, you may say to yourself, forget it. There's no job that's more important than, you know, if the boss does what's called firing, that's not nearly as important as being literally in a fire. It doesn't matter. And certainly, if this building's on a fire, forget it. The presentation's over. I'm out of here. The show's over. But tragically, many people indicated that some of these were true. I thought leaving could hurt my employment. I might have lost pay. People delayed for these reasons. That's tragic. There's an office culture that's involved here, and even though this isn't the focus of my study, clearly these are reasons that may explain delay, and so I included them as a covariate in all of my analyses. So looking at some of the sample characteristics from World Trade Center 1, you can see that the mean initiation delay time was about 7 minutes, with a decently large range. It's a pretty large range. World Trade Center 2, again, we see about 6 minute delay time. The range, however, is naturally truncated to 45 minutes, and this is because World Trade Center 2 fell within about an hour. And so if you didn't start leaving after about 45 minutes, you likely weren't alive to take this study, sadly. Some other covariates that I included. Floor of origin. Clearly, the higher up you were in the towers when you began your evacuation, the more likely you were to get out of there quickly because you're closer to the damage, closer to the smoke, fumes, and other debris. Age. If you're older, you're smarter. Who knows? Small correlation.
Wiser.
And older, not old. And then we have, of course, work-related consequences for delay. So the first hypothesis, if you're engaging in the social exchange milling process, were you less likely to believe that you were in danger? Hypothesis was supported overall between the two towers. Now, one problem here is that we believe that the story in the two towers were very likely different for multiple reasons. First of all, the timing of the attacks was different. The crowdedness in the stairwells was different. The announcements inside the towers were different. There were no announcements in Tower 1 and Tower 2. There were confusing announcements. Go back to your offices, nothing is wrong. So we believe that we have to tell the story separately for each tower. And so in each analysis, I separated the two towers. And interestingly, when we do that, we see that this relation is stemming from Tower 2. Something is happening in Tower 2 that is driving this relation between milling and feeling like you're not as much in danger as you should be. Interesting. The parallel hypothesis was, if people were engaging in social milling, what was their feeling in terms of needing to evacuate completely? And again, they reported this if they felt the need to evacuate completely before they actually began to evacuate. Again, this is all retrospective, but that's the focus. And the idea here is that if you're with your normative group, if you're milling, if you're exchanging information, feeling safe with your coworkers, you may not need to go completely outside the building because you're evacuating towards them. You don't care. If you have to go down a few floors, so be it, but you don't necessarily have to go anywhere, just as long as you're with them. And the hypothesis was again supported overall between the two towers, and again specifically in World Trade Center Tower 2. Interesting. We'll get into that. Then the hypothesis was, next hypothesis, was the social milling process related to the actual the delay in time that it took to begin to evacuate? Sadly, no. The hypothesis was not supported either overall or between the two towers. So it looks like this social milling, exchanging information process is affecting some psychological outcomes, but not necessarily the time it took to actually evacuate, at least in this study. Next, looking at devices, in order to control, specifically for one-way devices and also two-way, to control for the fact that if you're using more devices, that's obviously a confound with delay time. You're using more devices, it takes you more time to use them. So in order to control for that confound to some extent, I dichotomized. Either you used some sort of device or you didn't, and compared them. And our hypothesis was supported such that if you were using any sort of, if you were exposed to TV, radio, PA announcements, you were significantly delayed in starting your evacuation. And this is true for towers 1 or 2. Next hypothesis, using telephones, email, cell phone. The hypothesis was you would move quicker if you were using these devices. Hypothesis was not supported. However, for illustrative purposes, I'll say that it went the opposite direction, parallel to with one-way devices. That, again, no matter what kind of device you're using, you're significantly delayed. And we don't want people doing this. This is dangerous. To begin to explore the relation, what's happening in Tower 2, we started with the idea that the one of the differences between Towers 1 and 2, again, is that in Tower 2, there's more ambiguity happening. The situation is much more ambiguous, such that people in Tower 2 couldn't even begin to imagine, couldn't even fathom that their tower was going to be hit before it was. It wasn't even a possibility on the radar. And so we're thinking that maybe some of these relations were coming from the level of ambiguity, such a high level of ambiguity. So we split the participants in Tower 2 between those who began to evacuate before that tower was hit, which would be the most ambiguous situation. I'm here, I'm next to a building that's on fire, but what should I do? And then the participants who began to leave after the tower was hit, certainly a less ambiguous type of situation. And to add some credence to this notion that there's differences in ambiguity, our results indicate that those who began to evacuate before Tower 2 was hit were significantly less likely to report that they were in danger than those who began to evacuate after that tower was hit. And again, we see a relation between social milling and this decreased belief that one is in danger, an artificial deflation of a belief that I'm in danger before the tower was hit in the more ambiguous situation, which is natural. That supports our theory. If it's clear one way or the other, if it's clear that I'm safe or if it's clear that I'm in danger, I'm leaving. But if it's not, I'm gonna try to make myself feel more safe, and that's dangerous. This didn't occur afterwards. It was more clear. People left. Pretty much the same thing for the need to evacuate the building completely. We have a marginally significant relation, but you can see there's a difference. And for an exploratory analysis with a retrospective sample, I'm okay with that for now. So the story is starting to gain some cohesiveness. Again, though, for social milling and the literal time it took to begin one's evacuation, we're not finding significance. So the psychological variables are important with milling. So in summary, again, it seems as though according to theory, if the situation is unusual, if I don't know what's going on, I'm going to try to seek other people, and that's going to help me feel more safe. That is dangerous. We don't want people to do that. And so, with going along with the second finding is that if you're doing any kind of communication other than listening to the message that's saying, telling you to leave, which wasn't really happening, you're going to be delayed. If you're trying to check sources, you're going to be confused. No matter what kind of source you used, you were more likely to just simply delay. And some of the reasons why using two-way devices could have been delaying could have been that, of course, people you speak with at a distance may have had the same information that you had, if not less. It may have been just as confusing. You know, I'm looking at the TV, and I'm seeing maybe a pipe burst, maybe a small plane hit. I don't know what's happening. Maybe you shouldn't stay. Maybe you should leave. Maybe you shouldn't risk your job. So people you talked on the phone may not be helpful at all to you, and may in fact confuse you and add to your delay. So all these activities may be predictive, or certainly in this sample were predictive of a dangerous amount of delay. These are some moderating effects that we could have looked at, or we would like to look at, and you can feel free to read those at your leisure. I have notes to pass out. And so in general, in summary, the evidence from this study and also from previous research shows that we need to be providing clear, directive messages to people. Get into groups, because we naturally evacuate in groups, not individually. We're social people. Get into groups, and here's exactly what you need to do. Don't check the TV. I mean, you can call someone as you're going down, but here's what you do. Get moving, because if people are checking these sources, they're going to delay. And they may, in fact, feel less danger, that they're in less danger, and that may trigger other sorts of delay. That's the idea.